Now it doesn't even make sense.
I don't
Although
care.
I guess we won't have to pay for it.
Exactly.
just a small enough chunk. Hello.
Maybe I could bring out my other clip.
And welcome to the Cube Card Games Podcast.
Clip.
Oh, no. That's short enough.
It's,
probably
it's like 8
seconds. That either.
No, we won't.
My name is Dustin Morbido.
Fucking doing
it.
Necessary.
Well, I said we never have soundboards, so that's the closest we're going to get.
Dropbox on mobile, our soundboard. Bang, bang.
That's cool. I didn't know that was on Dropbox.
Yep.
I'm impressed that it that it can play those
audio
files phones.
Well, there's that, and I have it...
Anyway, your name is...
I'm Lorraine. I have it for use offline, which is why it doesn't have to load, so because it's already on
my
device.
Oh, gotcha. Oops. Okay. Well...
What the heck was that?
I'll do it again, just because I've been sitting on this one for a little bit.
Is that tricky?
No. Don't worry about it.
Lorraine
like
Morbido
five
is here.
People will understand that, and I don't care.
Okay.
And joining us via the internet, Brian Taylor's here.
The magic of the internet.
That's right. Talking to us about video games and stuff. I just noticed, I knew I did it earlier, but like I burned my finger, and now it's starting to annoy me, but it's fine.
My burn is finally freaking healing. So
this is, and I felt so stupid when I did this, but I was just making food on the stove, and for the first time in a while, I had like three different pans on.
You fucking did, man.
It was just like that all those burners were on, and they were all so close together.
Uh-huh.
Because I usually don't pick up pans when they're on the stovetop anyway, but it was like, I had sauteed up some onions in one. And I wanted to put an egg on that burger, so I was like, I'll just reuse this, it's fine. And so when I picked it up off the stove, the handle was like white hot. I'm so stupid.
You also have the handles over the stove like a moron.
But that one,
turn them to the side.
But that one was
turn
over the one
side.
Unused burner. It was over the burner that wasn't on fire.
The oven was also on. The oven gets very hot. Turn the handles to the counter.
It's
so easy.
I'm telling you that I'm stupid.
You are.
I'm not saying it's not my fault.
My burn is dumber, though. Mine is so much dumber. So this was like, it's
welcome to
like,
the burn cast.
So it doesn't actually hurt for the first time. I noticed this yesterday. Cause this is like a 2 week old burn. I was taking a baking sheet, if you will, out of the oven. Have one oven mitt on. It's like, it's a small enough tray. I don't need the second one.
Yeah.
It's kind of tilting a little bit. So me, the idiot, lifts my ungloved left hand to touch the bottom of it.
Oh.
And so I had it was like on like my like the knuckle
mm-hmm.
on my or not like the
uh-huh.
that's the knuckle. The first joint of my index finger on my left hand got this nice burn, like this big oval-shaped burn on the side of it.
Yeah,
and that was like 2 weeks ago.
So at the very least, I guess we're differently stupid. Because I don't think I've ever burned myself putting a thing in or taking a thing out of the oven in like adulthood.
Oh, man.
Which means you're perfect for each other.
I guess so.
I've done
we'll
that
just,
like three fucking times.
We each burn
two
our,
of them.
We alternate our burning
was
our hands.
Me
we'll
accidentally
always have a set of fingers to do
touching
something.
Touching the inside of the oven door with the back of my hand while not wearing oven mitts because I'm an idiot. And then I touch the handle of pans when I put them in the oven and then take
mm-hmm.
them out because it's like, oh, that's right. This hasn't been in the oven for a half an hour on like 400 degrees. It's
Brian,
fine.
Brian's the true master because he doesn't burn himself frequently. I don't burn myself frequently. This is the first time I've burned
in
a while.
I didn't say that.
I said I haven't
burned myself recently.
Okay. Oh, so you your burn
difference.
Density might be high, but as of late, it is very low. All right.
I mean... I've had a firecracker go off in my hand, so that's
mm-hmm.
that's not fun.
Sure.
That's probably about the worst burn I had, though.
I mean, that sounds pretty bad. Like, depending
most
on...
Most cooking burns.
I'm assuming the worst burn I have is the one that's on the inside of my elbow, because it's scarred. It's from, like, God, I was probably in middle school or elementary school.
It's like...
I put my elbow down on the grate on top of the stove after it had been on... I don't actually remember it hurting that much. It didn't hurt more than a normal burn, but it's just in a weird spot. So I've got a...
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's a little...
Kind of
some mark.
It's actually gotten a little lighter. And I have a scar on the outside of my arm from a tree last year.
Oh,
was
that's
it
right.
the tree you
yeah.
climbed?
That photo was worth it.
I climbed a tree, and I didn't realize that I had kind of, like, I had scuffed up like the outside of my arms. I didn't realize that until I put my sweatshirt back on because my arms were stinging. Because it was like a almost like a not like a like a carpet burn type. Like it was just like an abrasion. Like I had just rubbed the bark or something. But I have like two or three lines on the outside of my right arm from that tree.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, injuries aside, the metal on this microphone stand feels very good on my hand. Anyway, we are here to talk about
my burns aren't...
maybe some video games, probably some other things, including burning yourself.
We already did. We covered that.
I think I'm going to pick up... I think there's two things I'm going to talk
about. Burn unit.
The first, well, one of them is the Nintendo Direct that happened today. But we'll talk about that in a minute. The other one...
I have to watch that. My brother told me about
it. Oh, well, you can get the cliff notes from us, because I kind of half-watched it. Like, I was cooking and my head into the living room every, like, 5 minutes.
There's, like, one really, really big drop, like, in the first, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah, I think I know what it is.
The rest of them was just kind of, like, updates and other stuff.
Still worth watching, because the footage... Yeah. I might go back and watch some of it that I didn't see with my eyes, because some of the footage from those games is probably cool, and I was mostly listening to it, but... Anyway,
all right, back to it.
The thing we'll start with is basically the thing we ended on last time, I think, which is I want to talk a little more about a little more anime.
Oh, dear.
About the same anime. So last time we talked about watching some series. I think we've mentioned them both to you at this point, not on the podcast, but we talked about Mob Psycho, which is still good, but there's not more of it yet, or at least we haven't watched it.
We
haven't watched it yet.
We
haven't watched season two. And then we talked about My Hero. And I feel like at the end of that last show, I was pretty lukewarm on My Hero. Like, I was liking it fine, but it was
The last podcast.
Yeah, the last podcast.
I wasn't exactly sure what you were talking
about.
And how far were you into the series?
We watched the whole first season at that point, I think. The first 13 episodes, I guess.
Okay.
I don't think we were 100% through.
We might not have been through them all, but we were at least, we were probably between, 8 and 10 episodes in, I would guess.
I'm trying to remember. Is that's the end of, the high school festival thing?
No.
It is pretty much their,
I'm
trying to remember.
Or right up to it.
I thought it was just the stuff at the USJ.
Yeah, that's what, it's basically, leading up to, the first season ends with the villain attack on their, rescue, they have, a rescue operation thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Spaceman person.
Yeah, and I think we saw those episodes then, but maybe not. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
I didn't think we'd ended the season.
Yeah. I definitely wasn't, down on it, but I wasn't super high on it either. I was like, this is fine.
Uh-huh.
But then as we've watched more, and now we're
almost done with season
almost
three,
to episode 50, high 40s.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to go into deeper spoilers about that necessarily, but I'm really digging it now.
Uh-huh.
It really picks up steam, and this is the thing we had said to Wade, is coming out of the first couple episodes, that first chunk, it sets itself up as a shonen series in a lot of ways where I'm coming into an episode, I'm like, oh, this is going to lose so much steam. They're going to just, take forever to do very little. And every time I felt that way, it takes, an appropriate amount of time to convey the thing that's happening. whether it's, getting a good fight in a relatively, reasonable period of time, or, doing some solid character development in 20 minutes or less. It is just a show that I think has gotten more well-paced, as the episodes have gone on, which is pretty fucking impressive.
Which is the weirdest thing, because it's a shonen, and it really shouldn't be paced well, but it is.
It's a good one.
Every time I think it's going to drag, it, picks its feet up and runs the next 5 feet,
So that's
now, after the podcast, maybe we should talk a little, because I am curious where you're at.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything specifically, but I will say that there's,
especially since most of these episodes are actually really new.
Yeah, a large confrontation has just occurred. It's
Slash
basically the last
kind
episode
of ingoing,
we watched.
That could be a few things.
Right.
In the middle of the crap.
Anyway, mid-40s. Yeah, we can talk a little more after the fact or offline or whatever, because,
I
don't want to...
love that show. That's a good
I don't want to get explicitly into into spoiling it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but... I at least wanted to upgrade my recommendation from, this is fine, to, I would definitely recommend this show to 100% to people who are into, this genre of thing. It's better than DBZ, probably. It's definitely better than Dragon Ball Super. Don't watch Dragon Ball Super. It sucks. I hate it.
I watch it sometimes just because it's dumb and it's funny, and it's, revisiting some old friends.
That part is still kind of true.
But now it's always Vegeta wearing a Hawaiian shirt or some shit.
Although that's still, that part of it, those parts of that they've put in Dragon Ball Super, I still like more than,
everything else.
The fighting and stuff, because...
Oh, the whole tournament that goes on.
It's just so
forever.
Boring.
It's tournaments all the way down.
It is unbelievable how boring it is. I just can't believe... I'm not going to get into it again. We talked about that last time, too. It's not worth... It's not worth another discussion.
That they really lost me when they came in and they were like, this is going to be this big tournament of champions. And then, oh, now that was a tournament because your guys are like one of seven. And they're like, oh, well, really, you were really like, that was another one of like, I can't remember how many fucking they're on it now. I keep seeing commercials for it. And it's, I'm just like, no, stop. I don't want to hear anymore.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Mm-hmm. That movie is the most profitable anime thing to ever hit U.S. shores and theaters, so don't worry. If you want more Dragon Ball, they'll give it to you, I promise.
Ain't going
nowhere. You mean that movie that you just went and saw?
That's a different long story. I might have also talked about
it before.
I'm pretty
sure we did talk about it on here.
That Broly movie is like, it grossed like over $100 million at the U.S. box office. So it blew like a lot of domestic like medium to like small, large budget.
That's actually kind of cool.
Out of the water. It's pretty crazy.
It's insane.
I think the other ones, like, I'd seen, somebody made a chart of other, like, top-grossing anime films, and I think the top two before then were the first and second Pokemon movies.
That doesn't surprise me.
And then Arrietty was one of them. I don't remember the other, like, the fourth one.
It's just because I bet the Ghibli movies would do a lot better in theaters, but when they were coming out, that wasn't really a thing they did. They were I think the only three that actually did have limited domestic releases were Ponyo, The Wind Rises, and Arrietty, like in big theaters. Because, like, we saw
The Wind Rises.
From up on Poppy Hill at, like, a small, that was like an independent theater in Ann Arbor. Like, we had to go far to see it. And, like, Spirited Away didn't get a release in theaters here. Like, Mononoke didn't. Like, the big ones didn't get big releases just because that wasn't
the
thing.
Well, like, the classics in there, right? It's just like, it totally makes sense to me, too, most recent ones, if not the most recent one,
that is
theatrically.
That is the last one to get, like, actual, like, normal, because we saw that at NJR. Like,
right. It makes sense that would be the highest,
yes,
like, one of the highest grossing
Absolutely.
Or the highest grossing Ghibli movie. Just because
they don't come out
the
in theaters
The fan base
here.
In the U.S. has built over time.
And they they just don't put them out in theaters.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, it made an astronomical amount of money, and I'm sure there will be like dozens of other Dragon Ball things in the future, and hopefully of them will be a little better.
Man, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. That movie
My two things that will give them success: Garlic Jr. and Bio Broly. That's all they need. Just throw everything else out. What you need.
Those are some opinions.
Buddy cop movie with Garlic Jr. and Bio Broly coming out of the dead zone, and then he just goes right back in, because that's all he ever does.
I mean, I could see them resurrecting Garlic Jr. if they're going to bring other characters
do
back
it,
into the
you
canon.
Cowards.
But,
do it.
Anyway,
do it.
Brian, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't particularly want to go see like a DBZ movie in a theater, but I can think of all kinds of anime movies that have come out that, like, every now and then you hear of a theater. Like, just over in the fall, they did a thing with a bunch of Miyazaki films over at Cinemark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love seeing that kind of stuff, and I would love to see theaters feature something. Like, even if it's just, like one or two times a day in, like the small theater or something like that they have, where they show, like, an anime or something.
Yeah,
theater, I'm trying to remember which one it is.
I would
is.
Go to the theater for that.
That's just been all over the place. Not necessarily with anime specifically.
I can't remember if it's AMC or MJR.
AMC does that with other movies in general. They've started doing,
like a night, like, maybe two nights out of, like, a weekend or something like that.
Yeah, they
dedicate, here's, like, an old movie.
Yeah, they dedicate one to two theaters a week for just, like, classics or
I think
just,
they've
like,
maybe
cool.
done
old
some
stuff that might bring people in, which is
anime.
Cool. Right,
like,
it is cool.
They've done some anime movies, too, I think.
It's smart, and it's like it's cool for people to be able to go check that stuff out, and it's smart for them to use it to kind of you know, shore up their bottom line when
right.
Because I bet that's more
the blockbusters
aren't
necessarily busting boxes or whatever.
Because like how movie theater profits break down is a really weird thing, and
well,
I bet that is more pure profit for them because they probably just have to like a license or something.
Yeah,
like
I
have like
they,
the authority to show this for like 2 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how those distribution deals break down. Because, traditionally it is the deals are set up so that the earlier in a movie's gross it is, the less money the theater makes from it. And then the longer it runs in theaters, they get a larger percentage of every ticket sale.
But people are coming to the theater to see it less, so it's just like,
But I'm sure they have some kind of other specific deal to re-air.
Re-showing
stuff that was made
older
in the 90s or 80s
is...
or whatever.
Much more profitable for them, but it also isn't necessarily.
Yeah, because they're going to still get me to buy popcorn.
Yeah. But it's also probably not as big of a draw as the newer movies, so it's like it's a weird double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I could definitely see, like, cinema. I don't know, once or twice a month going to a... Yeah, let's say once a month going to see, like, an anime movie in a theater if they're playing something that's...
I'm interested. When we were in Ann Arbor for the Totodile Community Day, was it the State Theater?
I think so.
They had, like, they were having a marathon. I think there was, like, Spirited Away, Your Name, and, like, Akira, I think it
was. Akira was one of them.
And I don't remember what the fourth one was, because I hadn't heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just, like, they were having a marathon or something.
Right. I don't know if you call it a film festival, if they're just, like, films that are out.
But. Yeah.
I was going to say, I wonder if the, like, the film, like, the film rights to, you know, to view it would be... could just be governed under like a film festival, however they do it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Quite possibly.
I don't own a theater.
Sure they've got an established.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah. There's definitely something in place. I can't imagine why there wouldn't be.
But anyway, I have one thought and one question.
No.
Related to anime.
And five.
And then I guess I'll start with the question because Brian, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'll ask anyway. So now that we've gotten into it a little bit. We're going to finish watching all the episodes that are out there.
My Hero Academia. And for those
of My Hero. Don't thank you, Lorraine.
Have Dustin, my forethought into where the fuck Dustin's going.
Thank you, Lorraine, for wrangling my...
ramblings.
My ramblings.
Continue.
Wrangle the ramblings.
With new ramblings.
But, Brian, about do you know anything about the movie? Is that, like, tied into the canon anyway? Or is it like those Dragon Ball films where it's just, like, a side story
that
doesn't take place in the storyline?
I'll say this. I don't really know anything about the movie, but I would like to see it.
Okay.
Not only because it's been like 4 or 5 months since I saw something new out of My Hero Academia, because I'm pretty sure the next season starts in like May or June. It's a summer anime.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of bummed, and I want more of it. And I would totally watch that movie if I could.
Okay, maybe we'll set something up. Maybe we can check it out together at some point. But yeah, I just wanted to know if you knew that, because probably won't watch it until we catch up on the episodes anyway.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't want to watch it if it actually takes place, like, right. If it has events that count in the continuity that take place after the most recently aired television episodes. But
yeah, I mean, I assume if you've watched all the anime that's available, the movie's never going to
jump like 14 volumes ahead in the manga for some reason.
I can't
or something
imagine
like
why
that,
I would.
Which would be really silly, but... Anyway, my other thing was just that we've been watching the first couple episodes I got on Blu-ray, the first season that they boxed them in of My Hero.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like bought those from Blockbuster. Yes, Blockbuster. I resurrected.
Yes.
I performed necromancy and resurrected a Blockbuster video so I could buy anime from it.
Thank goodness.
No, I got them from Best Buy because they had a bunch of Best Buy
season
credit.
Season one. I'm sorry.
That's right. And then the next couple, since they don't even have a disc set out for the most recent, what they're calling the third season, the most recent, like, I think that's like, you know, probably like 26 episodes or something.
Whatever.
That they'll break up into multiple
doesn't
box
matter.
Sets. But those aren't even on our shelves. So for the rest of them, I was just like, the Funimation streaming service is pretty cheap. It's like $6 a month. So I subscribed to that for probably the next month or two, at least until we truck through all that. But I'm pretty impressed by it for the most part.
It's on Crunchyroll.
But Dustin wanted the dub.
I can't do
what?
Without Chris Sabat, man. Don't
what?
We're not gonna shame anyone, Brian.
What?
This is not we're not gonna have a PC Master
we're
Race this
not
anime
gonna
conversation.
Shame anyone. I'm going to
And
no,
we'll
kidding.
Just turn Brian's mic off.
Don't do it. Chris Sabat is My Hero Academia, all right? So if Piccolo's around, I'm going to listen to him.
I don't know that we can watch the movie together now, because I'm going to want to watch it dubbed.
I mean, I would watch it with you subbed, and then I'll also watch it at some other point dubbed, so I'm not like, I'm not above it. That's what I'm saying, is like, it's a taste thing.
It's one of those things where like, because it plays on Cartoon Network sometimes now, so I'll turn it on, and I'll just be like, yeah, I know it's the same thing, but it's not the same thing, and I don't like it.
But that's fine, because I think that's the best thing about it, is that it's not an identical experience. Because they are like it is a different thing, and it's supposed to be. If it were close to identical, it would have even less reason to have
exist.
One exist over the right in addition to the other.
Yeah, it's just the voices are so they're not bad at all. It's just they're like somebody goes to speak and I'm like, that's not what you sound like.
It's like going, it's like being in downtown Detroit and then going over to Canada, and it's very similar, but everything's also a little different. Like there's more Tim Hortons, the beer store is there. People usually have health insurance. But the language is technically the same, you know. Their money may look a little weird, but whatever.
A toonie.
No pennies. That's great. Fuck pennies. I wish we didn't have pennies anymore. They're terrible.
The only thing I like about the penny is the penny that's got a shield on the back of it.
I mean, they could put that art on a different coin.
I just like that coin.
They could just like upgrade the dime. They could even make dimes bigger, like, because they're so tiny. Like, poor dimes. Like, how does that even make sense?
But then how would you use a bigger dime in, like an old candy machine?
I mean, and I'm not buying much stuff out of candy machines these days.
I agree.
So.
I'm just thinking of a general problem.
But like, what? There's got to be at some point somebody had to decide what size each of those coins are, because the quarter's the biggest one out of the common coins, which is worth more than those other ones. But the dime is smaller than the nickel, and also smaller than the penny a little bit.
Well, I think it stems from what the coins were made from or plated with is the thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
that makes sense.
Dimes were smaller because they were plated with a material that was more expensive.
Yeah, to denote the 10 cents or whatever.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
This is not a coin podcast. You know what this is about? This is about
That's
video
the
games.
Coin coin podcast,
no.
Which is coming up next.
No,
it's about anime. I tricked
no,
you.
No, it's not about anime either. Dustin, right. You recently finished a video game, and you said you were going to talk about it.
Hold on.
No.
Before we get...
Stop it.
I have to say one thing that you guys sidetracked me from.
Talking about coins on a sidetrack?
All right, we're done with coins.
No. It's about anime. Did I tell you that I watched Mob Psycho?
Yes.
Okay. I watched, like, the first season and the movie... And I will just say, it's pretty good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, concur. Me too.
Have to watch those new episodes.
Yeah, we'll also check out the new episodes at some point. It is very good. Anyway, like Lorraine, we're almost done with anime. I promise.
Oh my god!
I was gonna finish my thought. I just wanted to finish my thought on dubbing for what just one more compliment to the Funimation, like their pipeline, basically at this point. Because when I had looked at that stuff. If you are like me and you'd prefer in general a dub over a sub, they also do the Crunchyroll thing where they will like 100% like they'll simulcast it like in real time basically with the Japanese like airing on television. But they've got their dubs turned around now, like where they'll pluck like 10 to 20 different series in like a given season of time, like over a course of a couple months or whatever, and they either release those episodes the same day in dubbed form or within like 48 to 72 hours, which is fucking astonishing to me. But good for them.
Like, I mean, they probably have some of the scripts.
Does Steve Blum like live on site?
Well, that's what I'm guessing too. Is that they finally like relation? What Lorraine said, I think, is the fact is that like relations between the localization teams and the folks in Japan have probably improved to such a state where they do get like they probably get a script in similar timing that the Japanese folks get theirs to record their Japanese VO. So they can front load a bunch of that stuff. That would be my guess, but yeah, it's still impressive. Cool. Like it just feels like the future. And it's really cool for people who are into that.
Now that unsponsored, unaffiliated commercial is over, Dustin, video games.
I like them. I've played them on occasion from time to time.
Knees. You just finished a game.
I did. It was a whirlwind. I'm just like
emotion.
It feels like ages ago, and it was like less than 2 weeks ago. Like in my mind, I'm like that was like. That was in 2017 that I finished Mother 3, but it was more recently than that.
2019.
I finished Mother 3. We were playing it on stream.
Yep.
And we finally got to the end, like almost exactly one day. I think it was 24 hours in clock time, pretty much.
Oh, the game clock.
Yeah, the game clock. It's pretty good.
About the average, I believe.
I like it a lot. I'm glad we played it. The base thoughts I have in it are... It's basically the same thing I said, I think, at the end of one or more of those streams, which is that I'm glad we did it in that format, and I just kind of chipped away at it every week or so, because I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I played it to completion, I probably would have just put it down the same way I have put down, like, Earthbound every time I've tried to play it, just because the interface is annoying, and there are just things about it that are not for me. But aside from that, like, you know, all the quirkiness and the way that the dialogue is written, a lot of the art, the character designs specifically, especially the enemies.
There's some good enemies in that
All
game.
That stuff holds up. Like, all that stuff, in playing it to completion, it is not hard to see what people who are very invested in those games love about them. And those are the things that I liked the most about them. Just, like, the sense of humor, just how quirky it is. The fact that sometimes it's not even, like, explicitly a joke. It's just something really weird that you wouldn't think would be in a place is in a place.
A lot of PP and DP.
And by the end of it, I did finally...
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
I did come around to the combat a little bit, because it does get better. I was really struggling in that early part where you're either playing the characters without the Psi powers at all, or you're playing with, like, just Lucas or whatever. Like, those parts are just rough. Like, it's just a little hard to get through that stuff.
I mean, stunted parties in RPGs is always very hard, especially when you're kind of, like, expected to have, like... You kind of, like, the combat is more geared towards having the full party, but you only have, like, a small fraction of it.
Yeah, but then once you finally get, like, basically once I got four party members and had them consistently, it was much more manageable. And aside from a few baffling choices, like where they put checkpoints and, like, save
again,
save progs and stuff in that game.
The continue feature was there. You just refused to use it.
Because I didn't want to get buried by not having enough stuff. If I go in there and I eat all my pastries or whatever, if I eat all my burgers, and then I hit continue and I have no burgers, I'm just gonna die on subsequent attempts because I'm burgerless.
True.
that in itself is, like, it's such a baffling choice. Like, I wouldn't even put the continue option on there because it doesn't put you in, like, the same. It doesn't put you in a pre-fail state. It puts you in a post-fail state that is, like, you know, technically ahead of, I guess, you know, maybe a certain amount of gameplay if you would. It'd take you a while to physically walk to the location where that encounter was or whatever. But, like, for me at that point, I would just, like, just take that button out. It's fine. Just, like.
Maybe that's one of the ways you were supposed to, like, grind.
I don't know, maybe. Because, like, if you were grinding without using any, like, perishable resources and you were just bumping your head against shit, I guess that would be the smarter way to do that, like, to use that
function.
I
bet if you had actually died in the volcano and just pressed continue, it would have been fine.
I definitely would have tried it, because fuck me if I was going to repeat that fight without exhausting every other option. but it's okay. We got it. We clutched it out. And I did get to the end of Mother 3 and enjoyed it a lot. Do you have any other thoughts about it after watching me play it to completion? Because I know you had. Have you watched? You watched a full playthrough of that
game,
right?
Yes, I watched like a handful of years ago now. It's been a while since I'd seen the full game.
Yeah.
I still really like it. I definitely enjoy how that game has affected, like, the indie RPG. I mean, it's not necessarily the genre as a whole, because it hasn't really expanded enough. Yet,
but a couple games.
Yeah,
some, like, more deliberately than others.
Yeah, the most prolific of them probably being Undertale, but its references are definitely, like, its roots are out there. Like, people have experienced this game and are taking stuff from it and using it to fuel their own creative juices. But I think the impact of this game and the Mother series as a whole is extremely important and just, like, a neat kind of thing. Like, I'm glad it exists. Kind of like how you said, they're not necessarily games I want to play. I'd rather experience them all, which I have through, like, Let's Plays and stuff like that. And watching you play Mother 3. But yeah, I enjoy what, like, the concepts and kind of just general oddness that they bring to the genre that isn't really seen anywhere else, or wasn't really seen until, like, indie games and such, like smaller budget things and people making passion projects able to bring out that same level of just strange that isn't really anywhere else.
Brian, have you played Undertale? Did you play that game?
Yeah, he played on stream.
Right, you did. Man, see, I don't remember anything.
No, you don't.
We watched.
I mean,
played...
it was one of the first ones.
Yeah, it was like the
stream,
first game he played on stream.
Oh gosh, yeah, I remember that now. I remember the spider.
Yeah, he killed Goat Mom.
Yes, that's right. See, I don't remember. I don't remember.
You remember shit.
I played it all that way, going the peaceful route. Still failed because I killed Goat Mom.
Yeah, if nothing...
Nobody wanted to tell me.
If nothing else, in addition to just enjoying Mother 3 on its own, it definitely gave me a deeper appreciation for mm-hmm. Undertale also, because that game is... I think the way that it's different from ways that it's different from Mother 3 are smart and appeal to me at least more in terms of like the way that they rejiggered the combat and stuff mm-hmm. like that and just made it a little different. I think it's interesting the way that it's different because that game is like on some level that game is just straight up Twitch based in a way that yeah. Mother is not. Like it's literally like direct control. Mm-hmm. You know, you yep. navigate that little heart cursor around and like it is absolutely a like high skill. It's a high. I don't know if I want to say low strategy, but it's more high skill than it is high strategy. Because a lot of the stuff where you need to like take a specific path is like if you're doing it blind, it's just raw experimentation. You just click yeah. on menu options until you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not, you know, you just look it up online, and it's going to be some obtuse solution. Like in the parts where it really tries to like present you with something that's not just you know dodge a bunch of attacks or mm-hmm. whatever. So I think that's just interesting.
Yeah.
But also for me personally, I'd rather be doing that than doing the Mother 3 version of turn-based combat if I had the choice between the two. But the other thing is just how, and again, everybody who sees that game who's familiar with Earthbound from a distance or whatever with the Mother series, mm-hmm. Like you can see at a base level, like even just visually, like
yeah.
the influence that it's drawing from. But it is so such in the spirit of those games mm-hmm. to like Toby Fox must have done multiple incredibly deep reads on, like, I'm going to say probably each of those games.
So a really interesting thing is the first, or at least one of the, like, his first big thing pre-Undertale was the Earthbound Halloween hack,
mm-hmm.
where it was like a ROM hack of Earthbound with, like, a completely new thing. It kind of takes place after the game, and you can see a lot of that's basically the transition between kind of, it's almost like the, like you can see the thought path from the Mother series to Undertale from there.
Because
mm-hmm. it's like obviously using like the sprite set of Earthbound, but like it's got Megalovania in it. It's got a version of it, like the song kind of that you associate with Undertale. It's got like some of the combat stuff, like you take down a boss in a very Undertale-y way while using the Earthbound combat, like, general system. It's very interesting. I haven't played it, but I watched a very in-depth, like, look-through of it, and it was incredibly fascinating.
Yeah, it's just really, and again, that's another game that, like, so I guess thank you, Lorraine, in both instances, because you originally drove me to play Undertale and finish mm-hmm. it, and
well,
I did.
Well, I mean, it was a group effort. I'm pretty sure, like, half of the McGraths were telling you to do it too.
And sure, but I mean, you were just like, "Hey, just pick this up and play it." Play
idiot.
It. And then I played it, and then it was great. And then similarly, you got me that copy of Mother 3, which you know, not technically the one we finished because the Super Game Boy is a jerk. But
you mean the player? Different.
Whatever. Yeah. But we still, it still drove me to play and yes. finish that game. Which is not a thing I probably would have done on my own. So, yes, thank you for both of those for helping me play some new stuff that I hadn't played before and for enjoying it thoroughly.
I contribute to things sometimes.
Anyway, I'm not sure if I have any other thoughts on Mother 3. It's just like, I really wonder if that collection that's been rumored will come out with like, that there's this thought that some of the Mother games, some or all mm-hmm. of the Mother games will come out on like, you know, one download or in one yeah. cartridge on the Switch.
Technically, there is a Game Boy cart, like advanced cart, back in the day around when Mother 3 was coming out, that was 1 and 2. Like,
mm-hmm.
they put that out, and they're like, I think, I'm trying to remember which way it was. If it was, like, there was a commercial for Mother 3, and they're like, oh, hey, these two are coming out as well. Or if it was the opposite, like, oh, hey, this is finally coming out after being mm-hmm. in hell on the 64DD and then N64, and then now it's the Game Boy Advance. Yay. Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see on that stuff. Mm-hmm. That would be a big deal for yeah. people like those. First ever stateside release of that third game. If there's anything that would stand out in that collection, I would think that it's like, people should probably play Earthbound and then Mother 3 and then maybe play Mother 1 for about 10 or 15 minutes, yeah. I would guess. Like, I don't know.
That game is just a little too archaic.
Yeah, like, having like my reaction to every time I've tried to pick up Earthbound, which I said, like I said, I've
you
tried
didn't watch
to play
that video,
it like
did you?
Three or four times.
I sent you the, like, breakdown in the Mother video. You never watched it, did you?
I think I started it at the very least. I'll go watch it after this. I'll get caught up.
Can't do heck in anything, man.
But yeah, having experience like Roadblocks just due to usability for mm-hmm. these two games, even the two more modern ones, going back to an NES game that's like that.
Yeah,
like I can only imagine.
It's worse.
How untenable.
It's worse.
Playing that game might be.
No, it's worse.
Over, you know, multiple hours.
Really worse.
But anyway, yeah, I had a good time with Mother 3.
Fantastic.
Who knows, maybe someday I'll still actually play Earthbound.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I'm sure I would enjoy it. I'm sure it'd be the exact same thing. Like, if I really just smashed my head up against it and just plowed through it, I'm sure I would come over the hump where...
It definitely doesn't have the same level of quirky weirdness as Mother 3. That game is definitely head and shoulders above the other two. But it's also, it's like, because it's like, Mother kind of tries to do stuff. Earthbound takes it a little farther. And then Mother 3 just rips the knob off. Like, it's a transitional one. It's still solid, but it's not nearly as just kind of just bizarre as Mother 3 is.
Yeah, I might try to do that at some point. I don't know. We'll see.
We shall.
But in any case, I enjoyed Mother 3 very much. You're playing Star Fox now, which, again, I think we'll talk about that later, because our tradition has been to mostly talk about the games we played on stream after we finish them. I don't think that one's going to take a super long time.
I talked about 13, like, all the heckin' time. Valkyrie Chronicles, I complained about that every single week. All
right, that's fine.
This isn't a new game, either. Like, I'm in my element. Like, I've played this game a million times.
No, I guess what I'm really saying is I just wanted to give you a chance to shout it out that you are playing it.
Oh, yeah.
But not necessarily dwell on it at this moment, so we can... move on to the exciting Nintendo Direct stuff.
Exciting.
I mean, I know I'm going to have a good time. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to love playing that game again.
Star
I know
Fox.
It's old. Like, so I'm going in understanding that it's an old video game that came out almost 20 years ago.
I'm happy about it.
I'm just going to be watching that game like with my hand on my chin, just like thinking about it. In terms of its like place in the spectrum of design in the era that it came out in, because like we talked about that first stream, I'm certain there are things in that game that were like from the N64 origins of when it was.
That game is like they didn't really change anything. Like,
yeah, when
I
it
have
was,
done
a
fair amount of research because this whole thing fascinates
Dinosaur Planet,
me.
That's
yeah,
the one.
Like the transition from Dinosaur Planet to Star Fox Adventures is extremely fascinating. Like the same with like Conker's 12 Tales to Bad Fur Day. Like
sure.
This stuff is like.
Because those
it's
two games,
so interesting.
Those two games are probably closer to each other than like one of the example I was going to go with, just because it popped into my head at that moment, was Animal Crossing. But that game's not really similar in that it was just an N64 game that like that's basically a straight port.
Yeah, it is a port.
Like these There's games no, are no, like games it, that started on the N64 and then
Animal
were eventually
Crossing came out on the N64 in Japan.
Right, and then they put it on a disc and shipped it over here, and
then they got this. They got a better disc. There's like three Japanese versions of the first Animal Crossing. There's like the N64 one, there's like the first GameCube one, and there's like the GameCube one that we got with the e-reader functionality.
Okay.
Or that one's after, like the one that we got is in the middle. It's hard, I don't remember exactly all of it, but there are three versions of that first game in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we got one that might be like technically like the best one or like the most advanced one. There might have been more.
Yeah,
content,
but whatever.
Like a villager or two or something.
The point being that game is like, they made it function on the GameCube, but they didn't do like a second pass in design or in, you know, visual fidelity or whatever.
No.
But these other games were projects that at least they begun targeting one platform and then eventually evolved into a project that directly targeted the
one of them because of shifting just console environments and the other one because the team didn't know how to work in 3D. That other one is Mother 3.
But anyway, we'll see how that game... Like, I'm looking forward to see more of it, because I definitely didn't... when I played it back in the day, I didn't get much further than where you are now, I don't think.
Oh, no.
Like, I got...
I love the atmosphere in that game a lot. The Dave Wise music is just great, as always. Donkey Kong Country composer, Diddy Kong Racing, all that stuff. Like, he did... Him and Kirk Hope were the big pillars of Rare music back in the day. May or may not both be working at Playtonic. I know they both worked on Yooka-Laylee and they contributed to that soundtrack. I know
like,
Kirk Hope, I think, is technically at Playtonic.
Like an actual employee.
Well, he's not. He's in California, and they're probably both
have good relationships and contract with them. I would assume.
I'm not sure if they're like a lot of that official, like officially employed with them. I don't know that stuff.
Yeah,
but they're like just OG,
mm-hmm.
rare heyday composers and
British music people.
They make some good stuff, but just. The environments in that game get really cool. Like, you go some neat places. I personally really like the Walled City. Like, that's my favorite place in that game. You fight T-Rexes with the earthquakes.
Wait, like, the T-Rexes have earthquakes?
No, you fight them with earthquakes, yes. Okay. The boss fight on that one is also really cool. I like that level.
Not meteors?
No. You knock them to the ground and you smack them.
You don't Thanos them? You don't just, pull up your fist and grab a moon and just...
No.
chuck it down on a bunch of T-Rexes?
That's not how you do it.
All right, fair enough.
This is how
you do it. Anyway, we'll get to more Star Fox in the future, but for now,
about it.
Speaking of Star Fox, Lorraine, I want you to mostly run us through the content of this Nintendo Direct that happened just a couple hours ago.
Man, I remember like four things from that thing.
Well, go off the dome. I have this list that at least like has titles.
I'm going to say the one thing that they didn't have.
You watched it.
The one thing they didn't have was Animal Crossing, and I'm still very upset. They say it's coming out this year, but they haven't said a goddamn word, and it's February.
What was that Star Fox content they were talking about for,
it's an
what's
update
it called?
For,
Skylink or Starlink. That's the one.
They didn't give too much details. I think it's just more missions.
Okay.
They said more info to come.
I just knew that, like, I heard Slippy, and I was like, oh, that's, all right. There's
yeah, they're bringing
in
the rest of Star Wolf. Maybe that'll get me to finish that game. Because it just got so repetitive at the end. It was just kind of like, I've done this literally like 8 times already.
That's fair.
For whatever reason, I did it 8 times at that point. And then we're just kind of like,
Mm-hmm. So there's that. Let's see. Going down other stuff on this list.
Super
I'm just going to start at the
Mario
top.
Mario Maker 2. Yeah. Damn it. Yes.
I saw most of
yes.
the I saw most
My
of the footage.
Told me about that.
Yeah, yes.
I saw most of that footage because I popped in from the kitchen to look at the TV while that reveal was going on. It looks good.
Slopes.
Yeah, they added
slopes.
If there was something that you thought was missing from
it's
Super Mario,
Mario
Maker,
World slopes, man.
It looks like it's probably in this game.
Slopes, more enemies. It looks like they added new Super Mario World. That was the Wii one, right? Land was the DS. 3DS and 2D.
Super Mario 3D World.
That one.
Was the Wii U
one.
Game.
They added that. Suits. Yes, they added that as a skin, which is weird because they're all on 2D planes still. So like they took out the.
Right.
It would have been neat if the 2.5D like
element.
It's
a new
was there,
visual skin,
yes,
which also presumably has like some of that. Like I'm assuming the cat suit still has
yes,
the like
the cat,
jump in the air pounce
the
thing.
Cat is in, the cat suit's in there. Mm-hmm.
I've been really wanting a new 2.5D platformer like this, so. Do you
it's
know
not
when it's supposed to come
half.
Out?
It's straight 2D.
Or whatever, 2D.
Yeah.
No.
I know what you meant.
They said this year. It's like soon, isn't it? They gave a date, I'm pretty sure.
There's no date in this article I have up, but that doesn't mean there isn't one.
I'm pretty sure there's a date.
But everything they talked about in that direct was coming out basically this year, so it should be 2019.
There's one thing I think that was maybe...
September... Oh, wait.
But in any case, yeah, it looked awesome. They had, like Lorraine said, probably the biggest stuff was that,
June.
Like... Okay, yeah. There were a couple different styles, like level skins, like the 3D World one. The sloped angle stuff is a big deal for design for Super Mario World. I wonder if they'll do, like... If they'll backfill any of that stuff and make, like, custom tiles for Mario 3 that have, like, inclined planes and stuff. Like,
I bet it's gonna be in all of
too.
Them.
Because they did do that for some of that other stuff, and then they just put a bunch more things in there. Like they showed
enemies, moving like the black platforms that follow a track.
Yeah, like they showed where you can just lay down an entire like custom track layout for right, like those weird platforms that have like they're made up of maybe 5 or 6 blocks that
the
kind of fold
skulls,
in on each other.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those are cool.
Yeah, so you can make like a whole custom level with one of those that goes like in any direction you want. Mm-hmm. The angry sun is in it.
Yeah.
Like, come on, that's worth the price of admission by itself. Like
they better bring back Big Bertha. Give me Big Bertha.
The only thing I guess that I would say that's missing looking at that footage, still no Mario 2 stuff, right? No, what are the masks called?
Phantoon. No. Phantoms.
Okay.
Fantoon is a Metroid.
I didn't see anybody go in any jars and pick up any keys.
I bet they're not going to do it.
But hey, man, that's you know, there's always Super Mario Maker 3 or DLC that you can pay $20 for. Anyway, it did look awesome. And then they also, you could see in the footage, like during the process of creation, I wonder if they'll do both. Like my guess at first would have been that they would have gone touchscreen only, where like you'd have to make levels with the Switch in your hand and then you could put it in the dock if you wanted to play them or whatever. But the interface they put on screen looks like it's double joystick based because it was these like circular, like,
yeah, like
you probably pull a trigger or something.
Kind of.
Yeah, and it pulls up like a circular, it's like a radio menu where
it's
you just
smart
go like.
Radio, I think, is actually more what
yeah,
I was
it's like, I'm going to pick a Goomba by flicking the stick to the left and then I'm going to go Goomba, 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 Goomba.
As I always do.
Goomba, 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 Goomba.
So if you need a title for this podcast, Lorraine.
Maybe.
Goomba, 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 Goomba.
Go to Goomba, 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 Goomba.com.
Don't go
there.
That
Goomba.
That Goomba. But yeah, it looked awesome. It's definitely, I would have settled for just like a straight port. Like if they had just brought that Wii U game over and made it function on this modern console. But I'm glad they didn't.
I'm glad they didn't.
I'm glad they've clearly added more than just that.
Like this isn't like the 3DS one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which was a downgrade because that game didn't even function in the same way that the original did.
You could only
anyway.
It was just a vessel for playing levels you couldn't make in there, which is weird.
Yeah, this game looks awesome. The original Super Mario Maker was incredible.
Yes.
So I suspect that this will be very good.
It's time for a resurgence of the Reap What You Sow series of levels where you have three Lakitu's
throwing things.
Yeah.
I kind of missed out. Even though I had a Wii U, I kind of missed out on that one a bit. So I'm looking forward to this one a lot.
Mm-hmm. Moving down this list, they talked about Smash Brothers Ultimate, which they really didn't give any details on
no.
this. They were just like, there's an update we're calling 3.0 that's coming out.
And
so
Joker is going to come out in April.
So since it's a point release, presumably there'll be a lot of stuff involved with that. So I would guess that maybe they'll even do another mini direct when that actually drops to have Sakurai get up on your face and tell you about all the shit that's changed.
Some kind of hint as more information was coming, but that's not coming until like April.
Mm-hmm. They got some new amiibos.
Simon.
Ivysaur.
Ivysaur.
It's the only one that
Pokemon
I registered.
Trainer.
I'm a ride or die Bulbasaur fan, Lorraine. So
Squirtle. There was one other guy. Snake.
Mm-hmm.
Snake, Simon, and then Pokemon Trainer and Squirtle and Ivysaur because Charizard has amiibo.
Yep. So yeah, that's more Smash. That can't be a bad thing. I'm looking forward to seeing Joker in that game proper. They didn't have any footage, right? Or did they show like the tiniest little bit?
His model, it looked like. Because that was definitely not, like, it had more of the Smash Brothers kind of look to it. It wasn't like a straight Persona 5.
Like a screenshot or...
No, yeah, it was like, there was a pan over the model, but he wasn't like
doing
anything.
Okay. I wonder if he'll have guns. Like, Snake has guns, basically. Yeah. Like, he'll probably just have a Gat.
Sure.
Bang, bang.
I mean, that's like half his combat.
Sure. But again, I guess we'll see when they're ready to show that stuff in real time. They announced Box Boy plus Box Girl, which I've never played any of these, but I mean, this is like the third one of them, so they must be doing okay.
Mm. I've never heard of that.
They were a little like, they were digital only on the 3DS, right?
Yeah.
They're just like, I don't remember who makes them.
Like it's HAL, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're like 2D platformers that are kind of puzzle based.
Like screen almost based puzzles or like level based. Like you kind of like, it's like a set thing that you're trying to do. Like it's platform ish. Like,
Yeah. Well, probably a little more logic-y than like, you know, timing your jumps correctly or whatever.
Yeah.
But they look kind of cool. I just never.
I've heard good things, just never played it.
Yeah, same. But that's coming out, which, you know, not a bad thing. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker's on here.
It's getting DLC.
Okay, free
and paid.
New challenges and courses, some of which are free. Okay, that's cool. That game's neat.
Two-player co-op, if that wasn't already a thing in that game, I don't know.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 got announced, which is neat. Those games were cool back in the day. I don't have the details in front of me, so I'm going to have to look this up later, but I'm wondering who is making this game.
It just said Nintendo on it. Like, all the other ones had specific, like, companies attached to the bottom.
Yeah, because this is a Switch exclusive, right? That's what they announced it as. So
it
I'm guessing
exclusive.
It's probably not EA, because I think those other games came out of them.
I'm pretty sure
back
it's
in the
not, because it would have had the EA logo somewhere, and there was no EA logo.
And I don't think EA has any claim on Marvel licenses for video games in 2019,
so.
That game's coming out of somebody. It looked okay. I saw the briefest flashes of it when I was poking my head around the corner.
I have no context for those games.
But the other two were cool. They were like, you know, Xbox era, like, RPG beat-em-ups, like, they were fine. They were neat for their time. I'm not sure if you played one today if it would feel necessarily, like, you know, spriggy and spry or whatever, but...
Shrug.
The fact they're making another one, I think that's okay. I'm interested to see how that turns out. They announced a cool updated version of The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, which
yeah,
is soon,
neat.
That
game looked really pretty.
Mm-hmm. I was really taken even with that little, like, the opening cutscene.
Yeah,
because I
really
caught
nice.
It a second before you did. I was like, oh, I know what that game is. Because it's like, because even on the Game Boy, even on the shitty little garbagey Game Boy
opening.
Screen, right, it like that game has a cutscene in it to start that game. With Link, like, on the ship, you know, trying to hang on for dear life as the storm sweeps him away or whatever. And they showed footage of that game. They started with, like, a cool,
like, anime.
Modern anime version of that. And it looked really neat. And then the game itself looks awesome.
Yeah.
It is,
it looks very much a Link Between Worlds-esque.
Yeah, I'm going to say it is definitely that engine or, like, an engine that directly spawned from it in terms of being, like, top-down but polygonal. A top-down 2D functional gameplay but polygonal models.
Yeah.
And all the art looked really awesome.
Yeah,
like,
it was super cute, like, very stylized.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really nice.
If not explicitly shell-shaded, then real darn close.
Maybe that will actually get me to finish that game, because I tried to play the GBA one and just kind of fell off of it at one point.
Mm-hmm. It just made me wonder if they'll ever, if that game does well, maybe they'll...
do the Seasons ones?
Yeah, they'll go tap Capcom on the shoulder and be like, hey, those other Game Boy Zelda games are pretty fucking good.
The Oracle of Seasons and how much I love that game. Let me play it again. Then maybe they do Minish Cap. I love Minish Cap. Minish Cap is so good.
I like Minish Cap a lot. I remember playing that game.
I should play
and enjoying it,
it
very much. But I haven't played it recently. I only played it when it
I
came
did.
Out. But I did play it to completion at the time.
I played it in the past few years.
But yeah, if you get the chance and if you don't watch any of the other stuff from this Nintendo Direct,
check
just go
that.
Watch that Link's Awakening trailer.
It's real
it looks
good.
Really neat. Bloodstained, they talked about
for
a second. Oh, go ahead.
To harken back to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 for you real quick, the developers, Team Ninja, and the publisher is Nintendo.
Ooh, interesting. Well,
oops.
Yeah. I didn't see many tits in that trailer, but that doesn't mean there aren't any in there.
I'm pretty sure there are some.
Captain Marvel and Gamora and Black Widow are all in the game.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure.
They're also like their ultimate... armor variant is just like bathing
Nothing.
Suits, like like beach volleyball style.
Great,
like, go to Zach Island and
fantastic
play blackjack and get naked.
You know it. How'd you know that's what I was doing tomorrow?
Anyway, okay. So this might be the hardest release that this game's gotten. I guess they mentioned Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night, which is that IGA game. That is the like not Castlevania release.
Yeah, not Konami Castlevania release.
Right. That I guess that's coming out this summer. So
cool. It actually has anything
that's
on
cool.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of been that was kind of wrapped up in some of those weird like multi Kickstarter like kind of murky waters for a while, and then it just kind of fell off.
I put money down to play that game at a similar time as I did to play Mighty No. 9. We already know how that other one turned out. We'll see if I have another. Investment that is misplaced or not.
Fantastic.
In a couple months, I guess. I'm going to read these in a slightly different order, because one of them I don't care about at all. There's Assassin's Creed 3 remake coming to the Switch, which I think is insane.
Yeah, I could not believe that's what they said when they said
it. I want to say that
that
there's
it's
probably
kind of like
not
the worst
a,
one.
Yeah, there's probably not a less liked Assassin's
or
Creed game out
Syndicate.
There.
Syndicate. Didn't people hate... Or no, the... Unity. People don't like Unity.
And that
was, one
was but that
really
was largely because of technical issues at the time. And if I were to pluck another one out of my head, like the closest one I would put after this would probably be one in terms of ones that people don't like.
Yeah.
But at least that game has the distinguishing like characteristic of being the one that kicked it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like that game has a lot of good ideas that were eventually turned into much better video games.
It's a starting point.
Which Assassin's Creed game are they bringing?
Three.
Which is the one
three.
That is...
Oh. But like
it takes
North
place
American
in colonial
yeah.
America. Yeah, like during the American Revolution. Yeah, man. That game is the one that like really put me off of Assassin's Creed games, because I played one and liked it well enough.
And
then two was very good.
Are big, aren't
and
they?
Brotherhood is probably, in my opinion, is probably the best one. It's definitely the best of those early ones, I would say. I haven't played enough of the modern ones to weigh in on any of them. Because now it's even a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Now those modern games are like
just
open world loot games. Like it's just a totally different beast. But out of those, like,
quarters of one.
Yeah, of those original, like, handful of games, probably up through, like, four-ish, I would say that Brotherhood is probably the best one for me personally, because 2 and Brotherhood are the two that I played, like, to completion when they were out, and then 3 was just, like, it was just, like, I think it was right at that hump where they were trying to, like, they were pushing too hard on a franchise that was just spread a little too thin at that moment, and it just didn't come together. So the fact that they're resurrecting that game of any of them to put up on the Switch is, like, fucking shocking to me. Especially since they already have, like, I feel like they, I'm pretty sure they've put out, like, an HD remake that has, like, the Ezio ones, like, the good ones.
Yeah.
Like, on other platforms, like, if they're going to bother to bring Assassin's Creed to the Switch, they might as well have, like, started with games that were already established as being good, but maybe it'll be better.
Don't question the French. I don't know.
I'm not too into it, but we'll see. In any case, there's that. They announced a game called Tetris 99.
Hell yeah, they did.
Which is like...
That looks so stupid.
It's like a Battle Royale Tetris game.
Yeah. You're playing like 99 people concurrently.
Yeah, it's you queue into
a Tetris
lobby with 99 other
and
Tetris
just
players.
And just fucking play Tetris.
You just play Tetris until there's one person left
playing
Tetris.
It looks so good.
That reminded me of...
So, back when the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection was still working, I played a lot of Tetris DS online. And the main mode was kind of that. It was four people, but it was just like you're playing Tetris against three other people simultaneously and trying to win.
The last person standing, last person dropping blocks.
It was fun.
I hope it says winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Probably not, but maybe it'll play that song.
And that game's out now, so if you have a Switch and you want to play that.
But you do need the internet connection. Wi-Fi thing now. You got to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Although if nothing else... They finally
Mario Maker's gonna do it.
Yeah, started to justify reasons for people to pay for that service, because that Tetris game is an interesting thing to want to try out. Mario Maker is, I would say, worth the price of entry for their $20 a year online service if you're into that. Like, if you're gonna play Mario Maker, I think that's an adequate reason to
download some apps.
Yeah, to get in on that service. That Tetris thing looks cool. We're gonna have to try that at some point.
I'm excited about it. I like me some Tetris.
Let's see, as I scroll my mouse. Moving on, they announced all kinds of stuff about this Fire Emblem game.
It looks
Fire
really
Emblem,
weird.
Fire Emblem Three Houses. Lorraine, tell me what you gleaned off the dome from that footage. And then,
man, you're like a high school teacher in like fake Fire Emblem Hogwarts, and it's really dumb looking.
What?
Yeah. You get recruited as a teacher, and there's like three kingdoms, and they all have different factions at the school, and you get to like pick
Is there a romance?
Fucking
between
probably.
Those three kingdoms?
Man,
I mean,
I don't
it's
know.
Fire Emblem, so yeah. Right,
just asking.
But it's like it's weird because then you take them out to fight and it's really weird. So it sounds like you're focusing mainly on one of the three groups of students.
So
you're
there's
like three paths in this game, essentially.
Wait, so is this like Pokemon, but the Pokemon are children?
I mean, that's what Fire Emblem like always was, first of all.
I was going to say that you're the All Might of Fire Emblem Academy.
Kind of.
But whatever.
Yes. It's kind of like that, honestly. Like, it's basically a high school, and you're just, they have
I mean,
swords
I'll
and lances
it.
And Pegasuses.
I'm
going to
play it.
I'm interested, because I was interested before that, but I didn't know I was interested because there's a new Fire Emblem game coming out, but now I guess I'm still about as interested. Like, that didn't drive me either away from it or towards it.
I mean, I'm a little, like, more lukewarm on modern Fire Emblem After Fates. Like, that game kind of soured me a little bit, and I didn't play the remake of 2 or whatever, which I heard was fine. Like, I heard, like, you and Jillian really liked that game.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot, and I felt the same way about Fates game, because that was the dual release one, right?
Fates. It was a triple release.
That was like
actually.
There was a downloadable thing.
I played the third one.
Like that those games, not necessarily explicitly in quality, but in terms of like their position on the calendar, or whatever, those games feel like an Assassin's Creed 3 type. Like,
I
feel like they had they had started saturating the Fire Emblem market a little.
They
bit
really
with that
did.
Release.
They really did.
But it's finally been a bit like so with a little. Like, this game has a little breathing room from those, and it's on a new platform. So they have a good chance to take, like, a nice, fresher start.
I'm just not sure how much I might just be, like, weaning off of the, like, strategy, like, grid-based.
Okay, that's fair.
Combat. Like, I mean, that's fine.
I eat those games up, at least theoretically, so.
I love them.
Yeah, I'll definitely give this a shot.
I liked them enough, and then I think they just... they kind of like hit me too fast, too hard with like Awakening and then Fates and like all that other stuff. And it's just kind of like,
yeah,
eh.
But I'm 100% there with you. I put down Fates.
I liked Awakening a lot. And then I feel like it was like a 180 off of Fates.
Yeah. And I think largely it was just that, like, yeah, it was a lot in a very short time. And I also feel like the characters just weren't that strong in Fates.
No, the first
couple hours of that game, I didn't really give a shit about anyone I was encountering. No. So it was one more reason to not
They're
necessarily
very,
be like super invested in it.
Very boring and pretty bland.
I kind of agree with that.
As opposed to like Awakening, where like I feel like it was a smaller cast in that game and it just felt better. And there was just like two full Fire Emblems worth of characters like at all times. And then if you did the middle route like I did, there was all of them at once. And it was just like, please stop. Like, no thank you. Just, ugh. It was too much. Too much fire.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I'm going to blow by real quickly. I guess their Hellblade's coming to Switch. That's fine. I've heard mixed things about that game. I know some people really like it, and some people very much don't. But it's a weird action game that's kind of like tied in with topics of mental illness, and like it's weird.
Yeah.
But more potential people for that game to find an audience, like.
I forgot that the game even actually came out. I remember hearing it was coming out.
A Switch release certainly will not be a bad thing for that game. Deltarune, which is... What the fuck is Deltarune? It's on the, oh, that's the Toby Fox thing.
Yeah,
the other Toby Fox thing.
That's like new Undertale.
Okay. That's coming out on February 28th.
The most interesting thing in that was the fact that it was specifically labeled Episode 1, and they said they were making more. Because when it first was just... Because it is still just free. You can get Deltarune online on your PC and now I guess on the Switch for just free. Like, that's always what it was because it was just kind of like Toby Fox was just like, I made this thing, like, here. And people ate it up. So he's like, okay, I'll make more. This is the first that I hit. I mean, I hadn't really been following it because I was trying to stay away because I wanted to play it and not, like, see anything.
You should get
it
on the Switch and play it.
I should just play it. It's from what I've heard, it's very short.
Right. And like you said, the bigger news about this is not even just that it's coming to Switch, but that he's clearly going to iterate on this. Because now it's called Chapter 1.
Yes.
Whereas before it was just like...
You know, I literally just said that.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Literally.
You're right.
Word for word. Said that.
Anyway. I'm sorry. I'm reading ahead.
Literally.
And listening, and I apologize. But yes.
Clearly not listening.
Yes, there will be more of that coming, and the first chapter is free on the Switch.
Oh my god,
Yoshi's Crafted World. You can play it right now. You can play some of it right
now. Level.
Yeah.
Which I won't do, because I'm waiting.
You just save yourself.
Yeah.
For that game's completion.
I know I'm going to play it. I know it's not going to be... It's not going to, like, blow my mind like Woolly World did. That game literally destroyed me in the best possible way.
But it's Yoshi with crepe paper.
I know I'm going to like it. I know I'm going to like it. I'm not waiting like 8 years for any news about this game like I was with friggin' Woolly World. Let me tell you, that hurt. But, ugh.
Did they announce a release date for this game?
Yeah, it's been the 29th of March for a while.
Oh, okay, so that is pretty soon.
Yeah, next month.
That's fine. I respect that. Like, I understand why you wouldn't necessarily care about the demo if it's coming in the next couple weeks, basically.
I had to play the Woolly World kiosk at Best Buy that one time because I literally hadn't been near that game at all, and I knew I wanted to play it, and I had to see it for myself.
Okay. And then
but
finally,
I don't need this. Like, I know I'm gonna play it. I'll have
right
a time.
On.
It's gonna be adorable.
Get those dinosaurs, Yoshi on Yoshi.
There was a Yoshi riding a Yoshi. I can't like dogs can pet dogs.
Cats and dogs living together. Yoshi's riding Yoshi.
That's hysteria.
Finally, on this list, you know, the games that we've all been waiting for.
Oh, fucking me. One of them.
Final Fantasy IX and Final Fantasy VII are coming to the Switch.
Final Fantasy IX is literally out right now.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, one of those did
seven
come out.
Is
which, questions. How weird is that?
I know!
Like, that one of them is out today.
But they literally just did the remaster, like, a few months back of that and put it out on, like, PC.
But yeah, but versions of 7 have been out on all those other platforms forever,
too.
They
want to fucking tease you because Square Enix hates you.
Unless maybe that ties in, like... If Square was smart,
and they're not,
they would drop that that version of 7 on the Switch, like inside a press release where they finally fucking talk about that remake again.
And they never will.
But they probably won't because they're Square.
Yes.
But anyway,
Kingdom Hearts 3 came out.
That's fine.
So...
Like that's the most right. That's true. Like that's the most neutral of information about like. I guess all I can say is that once again, like
9 is dope. You
once
can play
again,
it on
they have
Switch.
They have like. Re-poured the concrete multiple times that has cemented the fact that Final Fantasy VIII is forever the redheaded stepchild of PlayStation Final Fantasy
Man,
products.
Man, I tried. I tried to play it on my Vita and was just like,
But the dinosaurs.
I'll pass.
But the 10-minute summon animations. Anyway.
Who would have thought combining a gun and a blade was a terrible idea?
When I did try that, I also ended up playing like the first few minutes. Well, I had recently enough played 9 after that point, at that point, and then played a little bit of 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the way those games start is fascinating.
Yeah, and then the way, like, Final Fantasy 9 starts is terrible.
You mean 8?
Yes, 8. You're right.
9 starts off running, so does 7.
Yeah, right.
And 8's just like, you're in school, I guess. Yeah. Go to fucking class.
7 is like the train hijacking or whatever.
It's dope.
9 is a literal heist.
Yeah.
And 8 is like, you roll out of fucking bed in the morning and like check your shitty fantasy computer. Like, it's terrible. It's unbelievable how weird and bad it is.
Within like literal seconds of starting 9, after, like, I mean, there's a pre-render cutscene or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Looks gorgeous. Like, at least, like, if you're going from like 2000s PS1.
Yeah.
It's incredible that was on that system. And then you're like instantly in a fight. Like,
right, those
seconds
games
into
go.
like gaining control of Zidane or whatever, you are in a fight and you're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same with 7, because it's like that panning shot of Midgar, title screen,
the opening to that game,
zoom in,
right,
that train, the bombing mission music is playing.
Mm-hmm.
You get off the train and you're fighting guards.
That game, like, has a late title card that works.
No, it's right away.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Because it's Aeris, it's pulls out Midgar, Final Fantasy 7 zooms in and you start the bombing mission.
But yeah, it's just like...
9's is longer than that.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VIII is such a weird game. It does not surprise me one bit that they have kind of like relegated it to the dustbin of history in terms of like where to put it on these calendars for re-release.
It hasn't gotten anything.
And that they put it nowhere, like, because it's old and
like
weird.
7 got that stupid PC port on the PS4.
Yeah.
Like, 9 just got a remaster.
Mm-hmm. If nothing else, I'm glad that 8? I'm glad that
that
they internally have come around on 9 recently, because
yeah,
that was always my favorite one of those on the PlayStation.
One. It's just my favorite Final Fantasy game.
But again, it's still not necessarily fair to compare it directly to 7, because that game has the benefit of everything that went into 7 and everything that went into and was weird about 8.
I mean, it's the same. It's like the Assassin's Creed argument all over again.
Yeah.
Like
it
was the first 3D Final Fantasy game. Like. Mm-hmm.
The Assassin's Creed Brotherhood
97 or whatever
of PlayStation, like, Final Fantasy games.
It's old. It shows, but like, that's kind of where it started. It's like the same, like, if you went back to play the first Final Fantasy, like, I'm sure that game's really rough too. Like,
mm-hmm.
from just a gameplay standpoint, it's not balanced well.
Yeah.
And so,
in any case, yeah. I don't necessarily think re-releases of 8 will be missed by a ton of people.
No.
I'm sure there's a handful of diehards out there who are just like shedding a single tear.
I remember when the 9
one
got,
like
when the 9 one dropped, people were like, but 8. And I'm like, but 8.
I want to play Tetramaster in its original format.
Anyway.
You're bad at the card game in 9, Brian.
You're bad
at the card game in 9. I'm not good. You're really
right.
Bad.
I'm terrible at it.
Anyway,
I yell at you a lot.
And with that,
Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Oh, that's right. There is a couple things that are not.
Which look neat. I really enjoyed the first Dragon Quest Builders.
And Dragon Quest 11, right? It's coming to the Switch now.
Yes, and 11.
Yeah.
I was getting to there because those were literally back to back.
Anyway,
the funny
you,
thing that I saw, I don't know if this is in like the other release, because this sounds like it's like an actual, like, it's, this is an exclusive release of 11. Like they said, like, it's like S Definitive Edition or whatever. Like it has like a second
final
subtitle.
Mix.
I don't know if this was in the other ones, but you can play it in like 16-bit.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. That's
like
neat.
They showed,
that's a funny gimmick.
They showed the sprites on the overworld and then a fight in like Dragon Quest. Like it was cute.
Well, we'll see what's
I
up
was
with that.
Like,
but
yeah.
That is very funny.
And then you can toggle like the orchestral music and the like
8-bit.
Chip bit. The fuck?
Yeah. We got it. Oh, interesting. That's funny.
I don't know if that's beholden to the gameplay shift or not. I don't think it is.
Yeah, whatever.
But it was fun. Like, seeing that, I was mm-hmm. like, that's really cute. Like, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's neat. I've been thinking about poking my head in at that game. I was like I might have done it if it had been cheaper. I haven't seen it on sale, really, since, like, the holidays. So, Maybe if some point either the Switch version or one of the other ones gets cheap enough, I'll check it out.
I don't really think I have room for another that grand scope RPG in my life. I have too many.
That's fair. I respect it.
I've got too many.
But anyway, do you remember anything else? Because I'm at the end of my list, so I think that's pretty much it. If there's anything we missed. That action game from Platinum.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember enough details about it, so just go look it up. The trailer looked fine.
Nier Auto Cops.
It was like Space Police fighting weird.
Someone from Nier Automata is working on it.
It's an action game.
Yeah. They name dropped like a handful of people, like a Bayonetta and Wonderful 101. Like,
yeah, I caught the barest little of that out of the corner of my
eye. There was just text flying everywhere and people jumping around and someone ranting about robots or something. I don't know.
But anyway, that's it. That's at the very least most of the stuff from that Nintendo Direct. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff to be excited about in there. And again, the vast majority...
Oh, Animal Crossing.
The vast majority of that stuff, if not all of it, coming out this calendar year, which is a good thing for Nintendo, because they need to fill up those releases.
I think there was
releases.
One thing that was 2020, or specifically called out, like, next year.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been that Platinum thing, maybe.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That new... there's like a mech game. They announced it at E3.
Oh, yeah. Daemon
that,
Cross something or whatever.
That was in that Direct 2. It wasn't a lot of information. I kind of tuned it out because I don't really care.
That's fine.
But that game was in there too.
Mm-hmm.
They did talk about it.
Very good. But yeah, I think
Animal
that will
Crossing.
Pretty much do it. It's common learning.
I know.
They'll talk about it.
They better.
So at this point, that'll probably have a Smash style. They'll probably have one whole thing dedicated to that game when they're ready to like really roll it out. So hang tight, Lorraine. You hang tight, Internet.
New Pokemon game's coming out this year, too. They haven't heard nothing about that.
Those are definitely get their own, like...
No, I know.
Those are not going to be announced in a list of 10 other things, though.
But they could have dropped some. I mean, like, when they, like, were teasing, like, Sun and Moon, they snuck something in at the end. That's why I thought when the screen hung on the president or whatever for a second.
Sure. But I mean, they already put that in this. Like, the big thing for, like, Nintendo people in this was that Link's Awakening remake.
And Mario Maker,
At some point... Yeah, that's true, too. At some point, you can only have so many of those, like, high-profile...
Doubt it.
Things in a single
Doubt
like
it.
Like you're kind of like diluting your own hype if you put
hype,
like
hype,
10
hype,
hype moments
oh,
in a
hype.
In like a trailer set instead of
hype,
like one
hype,
or two
hype hype hype.
So those games will have
those
their own
things
like,
have been
know,
like
every month or
though.
Two they'll release a new video with new information but
better.
Yeah, that's gonna do it pretty much for that Nintendo Direct stuff, and I think that's gonna basically do it for us for the moment.
Yes.
Anything
oh,
else?
See how it is.
Anything else?
What
either
have you been
you
playing, Brian?
Would like to close on? Oh, I just knew we got stuff to. I know people have stuff to take care of, and
we're a little tight on time. Well, I was gonna say not so much what I've been playing because all I've really been playing is Destiny. coming up very soon, which I kind of forgot about until recently, but I am now re-excited about. Metro Exodus comes out on Friday.
Hell yeah. I just saw that today, that game. Like, I saw reviews starting to come out for that game, because it's coming
I'm
out.
I'm bummed, because I forgot to pre-order it, which means I can't get it through Steam, because they
oh,
did a
shit. Yeah.
Stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Is that an Origin thing, or which service does
no,
that game
I think
live
it's
on
the,
now?
I think it's the, like, the Epic Games
oh,
one.
Okay.
It's on that.
And,
all right.
Like, yeah, like a month or two ago, something happened with the deal with Steam. They decided to only have it on their store.
Right.
It sounded like anybody that had pre-ordered the game
on
Steam,
Steam.
Yep, they were
by like January 29th or something was going to get it. But
Rip.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to get it through the stupid Epic place because I could get it on console, but I have to play it on PC. That's why I played all the other ones.
That's fair. Hey, man, if nothing else, look at it this way.
I love that series, though.
You're one of the early people taking a bullet for the vibrancy of digital marketplaces on PC. Because if that Epic Launcher, like as annoying as it is to have stuff separated into multiple silos, that Epic Launcher gives Steam a run for its money. Both services will have to improve a little bit.
Mm.
Like, prices
I mean,
will get
Blizzard's
better.
Already trying to do that because they pulled all their stuff under one big umbrella.
To do it. Like, there's a handful.
Right,
of
there's Origin on the EA side. Mm. There's the Ubisoft, whatever it's called. There's
that's part of Blizzard too, the EA one. I mean the
whichever doesn't matter.
Activision one.
Anyway, right.
That is different.
And like you said, Battle.net has basically become the Activision version of that. Yeah, there's a. people are, like you said, Lorraine, people are trying, but but I think it'll take, like, the fact
it needs to be a big push.
Yeah, I do remember that now. The fact that that Epic one is, like, that Metro is not an Epic game, but that they secured that for the Epic Store.
It's big.
At least indicates that, like, they're looking out there to make deals for video games, plural. They're not just necessarily going to put, you know,
I mean, I know they every version of Fortnite on there and call it a day. Like, smaller developers, so, like, a bigger, more high-profile release is a big swing for them.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, Brian, we'll have to touch base with you again once you've played a little of that, because I'd love to hear some about it, because I've never played any of those Metro games. I did play a little bit of some of those Stalker games back in the day on PC.
I love those, too.
And I know that those were kind of, like, the more modern, more evolved version of that.
Yeah, it was like a spiritual successor.
So yeah, I would be very interested to hear what you have to say on that. So we'll have to coordinate with you later. And get some thoughts in the future.
No thoughts.
But yeah, I'll be looking forward to hear about that. And to talk about all kinds of other video games in the future.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we're going to call it a show.
Woo!
Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and talking about coins and anime. Brian, thank you for hanging out and talking about some video games sometimes.
Joining the Cubicorn burn unit.
That's right. Yep. You have to go burn your hand in solidarity as soon as this is right. over. And thank you, Internet, for hanging out and listen to us jabber on for a little bit.
Y'all are a nightmare.
We will be back in a couple of weeks with more podcasts.
Probably.
You sound so confident, Lorraine.
Oh, yes.
So until then, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.